comes from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 5. You can find it on page 740 in the Church Bibles. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The second reading is Psalm 46, which you can find on page 570 in the Church Bible. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we thank you for your word. We ask this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us. Whatever our circumstances, in whatever we're going through at the moment, that your voice would be heard loud and clear, and that you would come right alongside us and be right here with us today. Amen. Amen. Jean, if I could have my first one up. Am I up? Nope. In the meantime, for those who've been coming along to St. Leonard's over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of connections, and in particular the connections that we have as Christians. The subject this morning is staying connected to God when life is hard. And I think it's a particularly relevant subject today, which is Remembrance Sunday, as we think of those who have lost their lives and who have suffered for us, that we might live in freedom. And we obviously think particularly of those who lost their lives in World Wars I and II, but also for those that gave their lives in many conflicts since. We think particularly of the conflicts in the Gulf, in Iraq, the ongoing struggle to bring peace in the Middle East, of Afghanistan, And then, of course, of the many terrorist incidents throughout the world. And it seems to me that, you know, you switch on the television every week and there's a fresh atrocity and more people have lost their lives. I think this is a subject that touches many of us. I'm sure there are many people here who will be remembering someone today who gave their lives. And there may be people here who have relatives and friends that are serving in the armed forces and in the emergency services. So it's a subject that touches us all. The Bible speaks quite clearly about how God is always with us, no matter what we're going through. And one of the most resounding passages in that regard is our second reading this morning, from Psalm 46, in which the psalmist declares, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. This is tremendous poetry, I think. It's an extraordinary description of how no matter what is happening to us, there is God. And it's as if God is saying, right, you're like a lighthouse when I'm with you, and the waters of life might crash around you, and yet there you will stand because I am with you. And yet, I would be being dishonest with you if I didn't say there have been many times in my life when I have not felt like a lighthouse. I felt more like a little boy's toy boat. When life has buffeted me very, very hard, and I'm thinking, so God, where are you? And I want to give two examples of that. One is on a global scale and the other on a more personal one. I can remember to this day, and I think I always will do, September the 11th, 2001. I was at work and someone came up to me and they said, I don't suppose you happen to have glanced at the internet recently. It seems that someone's flown a small plane into one of the Twin Towers in New York. And obviously, as the events of that terrible day unfolded, it became apparent that it was not a small plane, but it was, of course, two passenger jumbo jets that had been hijacked by terrorists and flown deliberately into the Twin Towers. And furthermore, there was another plane flown into the Pentagon, and one that crashed due to the extraordinary heroism of its passengers into the ground in Pennsylvania. And I don't want to sound flippant, but that day felt completely unreal. It didn't feel like real life. It felt like you were living the unfolding events of a Hollywood film. And I came home and my wife said to me that the local church had opened its doors for people to go and pray. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I want to go. And I was sitting upstairs and I just thought, I honestly don't know what's going to happen next. There were all sorts of rumours doing the rounds that there were other planes in the air that had been hijacked, that maybe some were coming to United Kingdom airspace. And it felt like you didn't know what world you were going to wake up to the next morning. And I sat at home because I actually just wanted to be by myself. And for some reason, I found myself turning to Psalm 46. And those words, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And it actually felt that day like the earth was giving way. And I remember thinking, Lord, where are you? I almost hesitate to say that I've lived through a time of peace, given the number of conflicts there are in the world. But I have been incredibly fortunate that I have not lived through wartime. My mother did. She worked on the land during the war down in East Kent. And she used to say to me, she said, oh, quite often when the bombers were coming back from London, she said, if they hadn't got rid of all their load, she said they would just let the bombs go before they flew over the channel. She said, so quite often, she said, when you heard the noise of the bombers, because there was obviously no air raid sirens out in the countryside, she said, we just used to take shelter, she said, until they'd gone and any bombs had dropped. And a few years later, I was out walking in those fields in which she worked, and I thought, what shelter? Because essentially, all they would do is just flatten themselves up against the side of the hill. Now, understandably, my mum never really talked very much about her experience during those days, but I thought, if that was me, I'd be thinking all that time, Lord, where are you? And talking of my mum, and on a more personal level, I also remember the day when I came home and sadly was told that my mum had been diagnosed with leukaemia. My mum had always been in the most extraordinary health. The only time I ever remember her going into hospital was to have something done to her nose, and I always used to joke with her that it was her nose job. She never appreciated my sense of humour. But we'd been down to visit her a couple of weeks before I got that call, and it was quite clear that she wasn't well. She seemed disorientated, she seemed quite weak. And my mother is one of the very few people in this world who is more stubborn than I am. And we eventually managed to persuade her to go to a doctor's, and a very good friend of ours went with her. And that was the call to basically say to me, I'm very sorry, Mr. Marsh, but your mum has leukaemia and we think she's got 6 months. And again, I remember just sitting upstairs in my room, and my mum was in her early 80s. So, you know, in that wonderfully glib phrase, she'd had a good innings. But you never expect that that kind of call is going to come. And I remember looking out the window, and it was a day like today with a very clear grey sky. And I remember praying that very complex prayer, Lord, why? And I'm sure many of us will have been in situations, and maybe going through situations now, or loved ones of ours are, where life seems to fall apart. When in the words of the psalm, the earth will give way. And we ask, where is God? Where is God in these situations? How can we connect to him? I have had the privilege of preaching God's word for over 20 years. Yes, I know I don't look it. I started when I was 5, yes. But I would say this is probably one of the hardest subjects to talk about, because we're lovely in England. No one calls out and answers the preacher back when they're talking. It'd be interesting if they did, actually. But as a result, it's very easy to stand up and say things that sound glib and simple. I do not believe that there are easy answers to these questions. I don't believe that anywhere that Christianity promises that there are. It's not a push-button faith. But I just want to share with you today three thoughts that I've always found helpful, and I hope we will as well. And the first one is this, Jean, if I could have the next slide up. These are words that are said very often by Christians and in churches. They're very simple words, but as they say here, they are life-changing words. And they are, God loves you. The central thing about Christianity, about what we believe, is that God loves us to bits. He loves us more than we will and can ever imagine. And we say it so often, but it is extraordinary. We do not have a remote God that sits up there miles away and goes, oh, look, they're still down there. God is intimately involved with every part of our lives. There is nothing that we do that he is not extraordinarily interested in. And there is nothing that we go through that he is not right there with us. We call this God's word because simply it is. And throughout the Bible, it makes it absolutely as plain as crystal the fact that God loves us and nothing can separate us from that love. It's like a stick of rock. It's all the way through it. And the most famous passage for me, and by the way, I could have chosen a number of readings today and we probably would have been here until tea time, but is this one. I had this at our wedding. Notice, dear, I said our wedding, not mine, which I said once and got into trouble for it. You were there. But this is an extraordinary statement from Paul's letter. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that we have been through, are going through, or will go through that can separate us from God's love. The bombs dropping in the fields could not separate my mum from God's love. What the soldiers and servicemen have been through throughout the years would never separate them from God's love. Bereavement and suffering cannot separate us from God's love. He is right there with us in everything that we go through. And I found this slide on the internet, and it just really struck me. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comforter. When we talk about connecting with God in times of suffering, he is right there. The doctors were absolutely correct, actually. My mum lived for 6 months. And during those 6 months, they were an incredibly hard time. I'm not going to deny that. But I knew God's love in so many ways, and not least through the extraordinary love and kindness shown by my wife and by my family and by my friends to me in that time. It was quite remarkable. And I received the call that my mum had passed away, and she'd come to live with us in Basingstoke and then was taken care by the wonderful people in St Michael's Hospice. But I received the call when I was at work, and I got in the car to drive home, obviously, at once. And now, you might think this is odd. Those of you who know me know that I'm a great lover of popular music. And I thought, I need something in the car, just to sort of, like, focus my mind. And I reached for a record, and I didn't even know what CDs were in the car, and I just shoved it into the CD player. And it was an album by the band Adam and the Ants. And as I was driving, all of a sudden I realised that I played this record an awful lot many years previously when I was going through a particularly difficult time again, which I won't bore you with. But God was with me during that time. And it was almost as if God was saying to me, and I'm with you right now. And throughout the days to come, you know, I knew again the most extraordinary love and support. And I believe that that was God speaking to me through those people. And there is not a day that doesn't go by when I don't miss my mum. But I know that God has always been with me. At my lowest, God is my hope. He is my strength. The second thing that I would say is we don't have a God who doesn't know what it is that we're going through. We have a God who, through Jesus Christ, who came down to earth for us, he suffered for us. The first reading we heard today was the passage that's known famously as the suffering servant. And Christians believe that this was a prophecy that was actually fulfilled in the time that it was written, but was also about Jesus. Jesus came down to earth. He was born in very humble circumstances. There were rumours surrounding his birth that he was not legitimate. He grew up in an occupied country amongst incredibly poor people. For most of his ministry, well, for all of his ministry, he was homeless. Hardly anybody understood what he was talking about. Many of his family disowned him. His friends didn't understand him, and in the end, many of them actually denied that they'd ever known him. He was constantly hounded by the authorities, who in the end put him to death in probably the most barbaric way imaginable. And he did it for us. There is a lot of evil in this world, and on a day like today, of course, we can't escape that. And humanity, or humans, have done terrible, terrible things to each other. And yet, despite that, God loves us. And that cross is a statement of that fact. That's Jesus saying, no matter what, I love you. And it also says, no matter what we're going through, I have suffered too. And therefore, I know what you're going through. And the third and final thing I want to say this morning is, in terms of connecting, God is right there with us. But sometimes it feels that he's far away. And quite often that's because we're not looking in the right direction. I remember once going into Debenhams in town when my daughter Ellen was much younger, and I was paying for something at the checkout, and I turned round and she'd vanished. How many parents have been through that moment? There's a panic! And I turned round, and then I heard her, Dad! Dad! Where are you? Dad! Well, and obviously when I found her, she had a right go at me. Where did you go? Well, actually, I didn't go anywhere. I was right here. And sometimes I think that God says that to me, that when things go wrong, I quite understandably panic, and I say, God, where are you? And he says, Rob, I'm right here. And so very often in times of suffering and difficulty, we are called upon to pray that very deeply and complex theological prayer. Help! And I don't know much, but I know that in whatever circumstances that we pray that prayer, God will always answer. One last story for you. I mentioned about the number of terrorist atrocities that have taken place, and of course the one that always sort of comes back to me, because it was very close to home, was the bombings on public transport in London on July the 7th, 2007. And again, I was at work that day, and my boss, Nick, called me into the office. And Nick was a wonderfully blunt northerner. I never knew what he thought about Christianity or anything, really, because he kept his personal views on virtually everything very much to himself. He was a salesman, and he only seemed to be interested in sales. But he said to me, Rob, he said, have we heard from Mike Knowles? Now, Mike was a colleague of mine, and he was up in London on business. And he'd gone to see a client near King's Cross, and there was a rumour that there was a bomb on a tube train in King's Cross, and we knew he'd travelled by tube. And I went out to people on the out in the office, and I said, has anybody heard from Mike? And no one had, so they tried ringing, and all they got was his voicemail. It later transpired, by the way, that he was on a tube, but not that particular tube, but he was stuck underground for about 2 hours. I went back to Nick and I said, we haven't heard anything, but we're obviously going to keep trying. And then he said something to me that almost caused me, quite frankly, to pass out. He said, Rob, can you do me a favour? I said, of course. He said, could you pray for Mike right now, here, out loud? Now, I must admit, I was standing there, and apart from thinking, I'm sorry, my hearing must be going, I was thinking, Lord, please help me. Mike was a lovely man, and we were obviously very worried about him. So I think I prayed a very simple prayer that was basically, Lord, please take care of Mike, and please be in this situation, bring him back to us safely, and also prayed for all those other people that were caught up in this. And Nick sort of thanked me, and I went on my way. And as I said, fortunately, Mike was safe and sound, and that was great. A couple of years later, Nick said to me, he said, "When you prayed that prayer, Rob," he said, "I felt something in my office. There was a sense of peace there," and he said, "that I rarely ever feel in my office." He said, "And I don't know what that was, but I think your prayer was answered." Whenever we are in times of difficulties and hardship and we call out help to God, he will always reach out to us. We are his beloved children and he loves us so much. When things go wrong, and I know and I appreciate this may sound glib, when the bombs are falling, when wars are taking place, when people are doing unspeakable things to each other, I believe that God weeps. But I believe that when we call out to him, he will answer us. Jean, if I could have the last couple of slides up. We think today then of those that have given their lives for us, that those who've put themselves in harm's way, that we might live in peace and security. But we also think of the times when we too are caught up in hardships and difficulties and problems of all sorts of things that life will always bring us. And I'm sure many of you will have heard that the poem of the person that was walking along the beach and God came alongside them, Jesus came alongside them, and they looked down and there were two sets of footprints. And Jesus said, "This is your life. I am always walking alongside you." And then there came a time when there was only one set of footprints, and it became apparent that that was when times were hard. And the person turned around to Jesus and said, "Well, where did you go then?" And Jesus said, "I didn't go anywhere, my beloved child. Those were the times that I carried you." And for those of us that are going through difficult times at the moment, God is carrying us. He is right there with us. We are his beloved children, and he will never let us go. Shall we pray? Father, I just want to thank you this morning for your tremendous and amazing and incredible love. Lord, life is never easy. The answers are never easy. Sometimes it's very hard to see where life is going. And sometimes it is genuinely very hard to see where you are. But you are always there. You are our strength and our refuge, no matter what. And you love us so, so, so very much. And all you are dying for us to do is just to reach out a hand, to call help, to call, "Dad, where are you?" And you will reach back to us. Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting, never failing love. Amen.